Hey, welcome Gaines Church to Gaines Church Online. This will be our last time where we get to do this with Mr. Monkey back behind me or sitting in front of us because starting next week we get to have services again. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is necessarily going to be there. We recognize that some people are going to make the choice to wait a little while before they join us back in the sanctuary. But we're excited about the opportunity that we're going to have to meet again starting next week. And so last time with this sort of a background. Also want to recognize, too, that this is Memorial Day weekend. When we actually take some time to remember the fact that there are soldiers who have given their lives for us in warfare. And so just want to encourage you to take a little bit of time this weekend just to remember that there are folks who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And so take the time to just remember them and to honor their memories and to show appreciation for those even out there now who are putting their lives on the line for our freedom. But again, looking forward to next week, looking backward to where we have been going over the last few weeks. We've been going through the book of 2 Timothy. Remember, this is Paul's letter to Timothy, where Timothy is at the church at Ephesus. He's been pastoring there. This is kind of Paul's swan song. He recognizes that he's not long for this world. And so he's passing the baton of ministry on to Timothy, and he's got some words of advice and some words of warning that he wants to share with Timothy before the reins actually end up being fully passed. And so we've been working our way through 2 Timothy, and last week we did 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just want to recap again some of the things that we got from chapter 3. First thing being, he started out chapter 3 talking about that there would be bad times in the last days. People would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. There was a whole list. And that these were actually going to be people in the church. So question, does your walk match your talk? How are you doing in that regard? Are there things that you're compromising on? We can't afford to do that. And so does your walk match your talk? Along with that was a warning about false teachers. There are going to be plenty of them out there, and they're going to say things that are going to sound good, that might be appealing, but that don't line up with Scripture. They're attractive, but they don't match God's Word. And so we need to be on our guard against false teachers. We also need to hold fast to what godly heritage we have. There are people who've invested in our lives. Might be parents, grandparents, people in the church who have mentored us, pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers. There are people who have built into us for us to be able to walk faithfully with God. And so we want to remember that godly heritage and those people who have done so much to build into our lives. We also wanted to recognize that the Bible is God's trainer for us. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 saying that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God might be fully equipped for every good work. It's the tool that God provides for us to be trained by it so that we can be effective in ministry. And the key thought there is that it is God's ministry. God's the one who is carrying it out, but he does it through us. And so we want to be equipped the right way to be able to do that. And the last thought that we had from last week was the idea that we want to run with the right crowd. It is very easy to be led astray. And we can end up going a long way down the wrong path, and that can be deadly. And so we want to make sure that we associate with folks that are looking at God's Word, that are talking about God's Word, that are being changed by God's Word in their life, so that we're actually growing in godliness. And that was our kind of our summary from chapter 3 last week. So this week we're getting into chapter 4. And this is the last chapter in this book. And so toward the end, there's going to be a lot of goodbyes. We'll talk about that when we get there. But our key verse is actually in these first couple of verses. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So Paul, you know, he's talking to Timothy here in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Not in memory of Christ Jesus, but in God's presence, in Christ Jesus' presence. Christ is alive. Okay? Christ is going to judge the living and the dead. Those who are alive in Christ and those who are dead in Christ. Christ is going to judge all of them. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, he is going to come again. His kingdom is going to be established. This is a really serious charge for Paul. This is something, this is it. This is where everything boils down to. And so, in light of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he's going to do, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be ready all the time. In season and out of season. Use the word to correct, to rebuke, to encourage. Do it all based on the word. Remember, at the end of last chapter, it's God's inspired word, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training. And so use it all the time. And by the way, it sounds like this is a mentor talking to a pastor. But it's God talking to all of us. This isn't just a message for pastors. This is a message for all of us who want to walk faithfully with God. And so all of us need to be trained in how to use God's word correctly. That means spending time in God's word. Talking about it when we go, when we rise, when we lay down. Talking about it in church, asking questions. It is profitable. It's profitable for us. And for the church as a whole, and especially profitable for those who don't yet know Christ. But we need to be prepared to do that at any time. You know, it's kind of surprising and discouraging to me. You run across people who, I don't want to talk to them about Jesus because they're going to say things that I don't know how to answer. Well, fix it. Learn the answers, or at least be willing to look up the answers. You know, we live in the Google age. You got a question, ask Google. You can find the right answer. But don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, Paul said. And so get into God's word and be ready to answer. In verses 3 and 4, he goes kind of back to some of the warning that he talked about earlier. He says, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So there is a time coming, and you know, quite honestly, I believe it's already here. When people aren't going to tolerate sound doctrine very well. Don't tell me what the Bible says. I want to know the truth. They don't want to hear God's truth. You know, Scripture says that we should not commit adultery. Well, you know, now you're getting into meddling. Scripture says that, you know, God made marriage for a man and a woman. That's just based on mythology. There's lots of things that Scripture says that today's culture doesn't necessarily want to hear about. And so what they'll do is they will gather around them people who will say what they want to hear. And what you find out is that's not helpful. You know, if Scripture is going to correct and rebuke, then it has to be willing to identify things that are wrong in our lives so that we can fix them. And in our culture, there's far too many of us who don't want that. You know, if you have any doubt about that whatsoever, consider all that's going on with this COVID-19 stuff, right? What do you have to do to protect yourself? If you wear a mask, are you being paranoid? If you don't wear a mask, are you being inconsiderate? What's the death rate from COVID-19? How easy is it to pass it? What do you need to do to protect yourself or to protect others? Should we open up our economy or should we keep it closed? And if you go by Facebook, you can see huge arguments on both sides. And which ones show up in your feed? Well, those are the ones that match what you believe. And people start moving in that direction. Gathering around people who are going to say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, if you're a Republican on Facebook, you can get all kinds of posts that will tell how Flynn is innocent and Trump does everything right and Obama and all those, they were so evil and so on. If you're a Democrat, you can find exactly the opposite kinds of things. Itching ears want to hear. We need to turn to God's Word to see what God's Word says about things and then live according to that. So we need to be careful. It's tempting. It is tempting to go with people who agree with everything that you already believe. It's not very helpful. In 2 Timothy 4:5, he goes on to say, "But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." You know, Timothy, you got a job to do. There's going to be teachers out there teaching what people want to hear. They're out there. Be aware of it. There's false teachers out there. Be aware of it. Deal with it. Recognize it. But you have a ministry. And by the way, church, you have a ministry to fulfill. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct. Right? Share the gospel freely. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You know, we are Christ's ambassadors to the world. We have to be willing to share Christ's message with the world. You know, it's easy for us, especially with COVID-19 going on, to just kind of check out of everything. That's not what we're called to do. We need to be reaching out. We need to be finding those people who are struggling. We need to encourage them. We need to find those folks who are being tempted to do things that they know they ought not do and encourage them to continue to faithfully walk. We are called to minister God's word, and we need to be faithful to do that, no matter what other people are doing. In verses 6 through 8, this really is where Paul is passing it on. He says, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." You know, I love that passage. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have done everything that I have been called to do. And I'm at the end. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of my strength. I'm at the end of my endurance, my perseverance. God is calling me home. Remember in that last chapter where he said that a soldier does not get involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. And that an athlete, if he wants to win, needs to compete according to the rules. And that a hardworking farmer should be a first to share the crops. Look at what he was saying here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's worked faithfully till the end. And now he's looking forward to his reward. And God will reward him. And you know, it's exciting for us. I am very comforted by Paul's short phrase in here. He'll award it to Paul on that day, but not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We all have a reward that we can look forward to if we continue to work in the ministry, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. Now, he goes on with, I'll call this administrivia. Lots of things that he says, it's getting close to the end of his letter. He says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Well, what's with all these people that he's talking about? And why does he say, come to me quickly? It's likely that winter is coming, and Paul is in a cold dungeon. And there were lots of folks that were helping him out, but most of them have left right now, and only Luke is there. And Luke is probably helping him write this letter, in fact. But all these folks, they're off. They're out and about. Now, Demas, he's singled out. He left not because he got sent to go do a ministry, but because he loved this world. He's fallen away. So there's one that's being lost. But Paul wants these other, he'd love to have these other folks around. But he's got a ministry to fulfill yet. And these folks are part of his team. These folks, he's sending them out. Go do this. Go send this message over here. And by the way, you know, bring the cloak. Bring the parchments if you can. I need those. So it is a team. They are working together to fulfill the ministry. You know, how are you doing in that regard? Do you have a team of people that you work with? You know, if you only come to the church service and that's the only contact you ever have with people of Gaines Church, that's not much of a team. That's not much of a work of ministry that's being done. But who are you working with? Who are your partners in reaching out in ministry? Lone wolves don't do very well. And so I just want to encourage you, get plugged in with the team of people. We all work better when we work together. Part of the reason why we need to do that, he goes on in verses 14 and 15. He says, Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. See, there are going to be people out there who are in opposition to everything that we're trying to do, everything that we're trying to share. They hate the gospel. They're fully opposed to it. And they will do everything they can, not only to stop the gospel message, but to stop anyone who's trying to spread it. And so Alexander was one in Paul's day who did that. We need a team around us because one-on-one battle's not a good idea. Quite often our opposition will be better equipped than we are. And so I just want to encourage you, recognize that there are opponents and they will seek to do us harm. You know, isn't it interesting? Alexander accomplished his goals. He did harm Paul significantly in his ministry. Paul goes on and he says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, when Paul first was put in prison, everybody deserted him. Kind of like what happened to Jesus when Jesus was arrested and they deserted him. But who did not desert Paul? Christ never deserted him. Christ has been with him the whole way through thick and thin. God's Spirit has been alive in him, and he was rescued from the lion's mouth. You know, Satan wanders to and fro around the earth like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, this is one person that he was not able to devour because Paul was walking with Christ and Christ was protecting him every single step of the way. He can do the same thing for us if we trust him to do so. Paul goes on with some final greetings. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus, or Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all." What a way to end. Listing name after name after name after name of people that are ministering with Paul, his team. Paul is going to be going by the wayside, but this team continues on. These folks' names are written in the book of life. These are folks that we're going to get to see in heaven someday and in the new creation. Incidentally, a quick thought for you. If you struggle sometimes with reading God's word and you struggle with all these names, Eubulus and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and so on, here's a little trick. Just do the first letter of their name. The specifics of trying to pronunciate all these names from long ago, probably not as important as understanding that, yeah, these are individuals that God cares about and Paul cared about. But Paul's team. So what are the takeaways for this week? Well, first of all, do your job, whether others like it or not. You are called to ministry. You have been equipped with God's word to be able to fulfill that. And there are going to be people who are going to oppose you. But do your job. Fulfill all the work. You know, Paul's charge to Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke. This is what God has called us to do. If we do, rest and reward are at the end. Okay? It is something that we can look forward to. We just need to be faithful in the meantime to continue to do the work that God has called us to. It is a team effort. It is not for us as individuals, but God has put us in a body of believers because that is how we show God's love most effectively. So be a part of the team. Be active. Be engaged. Help wherever it's needed. Encourage, rebuke, reprove. Fulfill all of your ministry in the greater context of the church's ministry. And remember that God is always faithful. He will always be here for us. He will always sustain us through any challenge that comes our way. Our overall takeaway from all of 2 Timothy, run to win. And the way you do that is by knowing God's word, using God's word, praying through God's word, abiding in Christ, spending every day with him, doing his work of ministry. That's how we run in God's race. And so I just want to challenge you, run to win. I hope you've enjoyed what we've been going through in 2 Timothy. It is challenging at times, and it can be encouraging at times. But I just pray that God will use the sharing of his word in your life so that all of us will be transformed more and more into the image of Christ, and that we can reach the finish line with Christ at our sides. May God richly bless you as you follow along after him.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.